Hope Church. We are going to continue on our series of how to. And I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to Hebrews 5. We are this morning going to be looking at how to grow up spiritually. We're going to find that Scripture tells us that there are different levels of spiritual growth. And I want you to be aware of that and learn what those are this morning. So as we look at our Bibles in Hebrews 5, beginning in verse 12, it says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This is the word of our Lord. So the author of Hebrews is telling us something. And we can see very clearly there that there's different levels of spiritual maturity. And you will see throughout this morning's sermon that there's two common themes that you're going to hear. You're going to hear infant and mature, and you're going to hear the terms milk and meat. This is a simple analogy, quite honestly, that infants require milk, and those who are much older can eat meat. It's a sign of growth. For us, it's a sign of physical growth, but in the terms that we're studying this morning, it is spiritual growth that is being referred to. And it's important that you recognize that there is a difference between the two. Your physical age does not equal your spiritual age. And so we're going to unpack that because the author of Hebrews is telling us that we are to grow continually in Christ. We are an example at South Lake, whether you know it or not. If you come into our church, over here we have Kidstown. Our young children go back there. It's their first entry point, as far as the church is concerned, into understanding who God is. We've established programs. We now have children's Bibles, so everybody reads from the same Bible. We have policies and practices on how we build up our young children, and when old enough, they transition back to the student wing directly behind us. There, our students take the word of God. They continue to learn, but now they actually learn how to apply it real time in life. It's that difficult transition point for our youth between child and adult. And they learn how to do that. And then at some point, they will age out of that and they will be considered an adult in the church. And they will receive instruction through Bible study, through sermons such as this. And in January, when we launch life groups, they will have life groups available to them. But did you notice something in all that? That was based off their physical age. No. That doesn't mean the church is doing it wrong. We do that for a lot of different reasons. We certainly wouldn't place a 30-year-old who just came to know Christ in the infant room in Kidstown. That wouldn't be appropriate. So there's a reason why we do it. But it's important to see that our physical age is separate from our spiritual age. So in order to understand this, we need to take a look at the different stages of the Christian life and see how we are to grow up spiritually. So let us begin with what we call a spiritual infant. If we look at 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Paul does there. He's addressing the church, and he's not punishing the church, he's not chastising them, but he is simply teaching them where they are at. He's saying, church, you should be much further along, but you are infants. Now here's what everyone needs to hear, and I will repeat this many times throughout this. Every Christian is an infant at some point. We all enter into the family of God at the same place. We are all spiritual infants. But the point is not to stay there, that we move on. And this is what Paul is speaking against. He's saying that they should be able to eat meat, but yet they're still drinking milk. The analogy there is you certainly wouldn't feed steak, a T-bone steak to a one-year-old, would you? You can't. Because babies rely on everything. We have to take care of babies. Others have to take care of babies. They can only drink milk, and it's their only source of nourishment. Because they haven't learned how to develop or take in anything else. They are comfortable drinking milk. Let me say that again. Infants are comfortable drinking milk. And if not weaned from the mother, they will continue to drink milk because they're content. There lies the danger, church. See, there are Christians, sadly today, who feel that if I show up on a Sunday, if I sing a couple songs, if I listen to a sermon, that's it. I'm good. But Scripture isn't telling us that. Scripture is telling us we have to do so much more than that. That's simply drinking milk. You have to get into the meat of Christianity. Some Christians are spiritual infants. Sadly, that is a norm in America today. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so they can begin to grow in peace. Christians in this stage need to start reading the Word, going to church, and learning what their new life really means. So let me say this. If you are a spiritual infant, welcome to the family. We've all entered there. But the point is that we are to move on. How we move on is that we start receiving God's word. It becomes a daily habit that we're receiving this. We're digesting the word of Christ. From that, we will then start learning how to develop some routines like prayer, going to church, having fellowship with other Christians. We will begin new life applications. From there, we will go from the infant stage to the child stage. Now, we're going to read in Proverbs here in just a second, but I want to add a little bit of context to this. You see, when I read this passage, it's going to tell you exactly what Proverbs is and why it's so important. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, I urge you to do that, to spend time taking them in. You can read one a day every month, and you've read through the book 12 times in 1 year. It's really easy to follow the book of Proverbs. And listen to what Proverbs itself says, beginning in Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Now here, it's going to tell you what it's for. To know wisdom and instruction. To discern the sayings of understanding. To receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. If you read Proverbs, that's what you're going to get. It's already telling you that. But now listen to what it does. Now it's going to speak to the stages of our Christian lives. It says, to give prudence to the naive. Infants are naive, aren't they? They don't know anything yet. They're learning. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. You hear those stages being built as we go through this. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I love that. Whenever we study Scripture, if you've ever studied a place in Scripture where it talks about wisdom, being given wisdom, being blessed with wisdom, there's almost always a caveat. There's a warning or a contrast with that. It's no different right here in Proverbs. The author is saying, if you read Proverbs and you apply it, this is what you're going to get. But if not, guess what? You must despise wisdom and instruction. And Scripture says that that's a fool that does that. Now, I'm not calling you a fool. Scripture is. Take it up with Scripture. So there's a point here. Is we are to become wise. We are to learn. We are to grow. Think about children. Have you ever noticed how children want their own way? They throw a temper tantrum in the store if they don't get the toy or candy they want. Grocery stores are brilliant. If you go to Meijer, go to Walmart, wherever, you get to the checkout aisle, what do you find there? 10,000 candy bars. They got you trapped. It's like cattle, isn't it? You're in a chute that you can't escape, and your children are there, and there's the temptation for the child. Right there, ever present, you can't escape it. That's a great marketing tool. Grocery stores are pretty smart that way. And what do our children do? They throw a temper tantrum, right, if they don't get what they want, because the temptation is right there. The same with a spiritual child. Children repeat what they hear. They love attention, and they want to be praised. For children, it's all about them, right? Children need to know that they are loved, they are safe, and that they belong. Some Christians are still children spiritually. They need to mature emotionally and in the knowledge of the Lord. Think about this. Have you ever been around a Christian who started out as an infant and then started getting involved maybe in different things? And at some point, wanted to volunteer, maybe lead something that was going on in the church. And all of a sudden, it becomes about them. Well, these are my ideas. This is my group. This is my ministry, what I'm doing. Hear the language there? It's all about the person. It's not about God. They're spiritual children. It is about them. And Scripture is saying you're not to be that. You're to grow up in Christ. So if you are in this stage, you need to find a mentor. Someone who can teach you how to walk in Christ-like ways. A teacher. You need to ask many questions and begin to practice your faith if you're in this point. Here's a free tip this morning. If you look for a mentor, if you're a spiritual child and you're looking to grow beyond that place and you're looking for a mentor, don't look for another spiritual child. That's not going to help you. Children can't help children grow. We had a saying in the FBI said, if you hang around with bank robbers long enough, eventually you'll drive the getaway car. If you hang around with those that are children, it's probably because you're comfortable. I get it. You're around people that are like you. But it's not going to help you grow. You have to find somebody that is going to help you mature. I believe, in part, my success in life came from this very philosophy, that from a very young age, I hung around with people who I aspire to be like. In many different facets, not just career, but in life and marriage and family. I listened to what they had to say, and I applied it in my own way. I never wanted to be something I wasn't. I took that knowledge and wisdom and applied it to my own life. Spiritual children need to do that. Find a mentor and start learning how to walk like they walk. And when you do, you'll transition into a spiritually young adult. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 through 18 says this, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Do you hear the shift in language? We are talking about milk and meat and spiritual infants, and now Peter is saying, you, don't be misled by men. Be steadfast. Hear the change in the vocabulary even? It's not just a different message, but the words that are being used are more mature. Peter's implying that by this point, if you're a young adult, that you have developed a faith, and now it's being lived out, and don't be misled from it. Keep the course, is what Peter is saying. Now here's the danger for young people. Young people often make quick, rash, and unwise choices. They do this not because they're dumb, not because they're ignorant, because they are learning how to go from a child to a young adult. It's a process. Parents need to have some tolerance with that. Children aren't perfect. They're going to mess up. But young adults are also strong and energetic, but often hindered by feelings of inferiority. Here's a warning to our parents. I'll kind of speak this way for a moment. Our children are being bombarded by social media. And that kids are leaving Facebook. That's for old people today. Even Instagram is going bye-bye. Today we can find thousands of applications on TikTok. TikTok. Sorry. Wow. Well, forget connecting with the kids now. Yes, TikTok. That is the newest thing for today anyway. And what do our kids find on there? People are saying, if you want to be cool, if you want to be the next big thing, this is what you do. Be like me. And you like it. But here's the thing. Christ says, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be the best version of you possible, follow Christ. That's all you have to do. Be steadfast in Christ. Be like him. And that will be the best version of you. Sadly, many Christians don't grow beyond this stage. God wants them to grow spiritually by seeking his guidance, direction, purpose, and strength. Young adults have strength. They have passion, and they're seeking purpose in life. That's a glorious thing. As mature Christians, as parents, I'm speaking on two levels now, we need to learn how to enforce that, how to guide them and help them navigate. But in regards to spiritual life, Christians in this stage need to be able to walk on their own. They need to have a rhythm of a Christian life, meaning that they are involved every day in prayer, in Bible reading, in worship. Did you know worship wasn't just for Sundays anymore? We are to worship every single day, church, and actively, listen to this, actively practice our faith. They should be asking tough questions about faith and should be challenged by what they believe. And should be challenging others around them. I've heard a few mature Christians in the past respond like this. Somebody said, well, why should I believe in that? And the mature Christian got upset. Well, that's heresy. That's blasphemy. No, that's learning. They're asking a question for a reason. If we're going to build up strong leaders, we've got to create an environment in which they can... they can ask questions. They feel safe asking questions, not to be berated, but to say, I don't understand. I'm trying to, but I don't. We got to help them. I've also said this, that at some point, while I'm preaching here, if you're not offended, one of two things is happening. Either I'm not preaching the gospel, or you're not ready to hear it. That's what it comes down to. The gospel confronts us. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Father, will confront you with your sin, with your lack of responsibility, with where you're at in life. We have to be willing to walk through that confrontation. God confronts us because he loves us. He's saying, you are my child. I want you to mature and go to the next level. We have to be willing to do that. And when we do, we transition into spiritually mature Christians. If we look at Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16, it says this. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Let's just pause there for a second. You hear what Paul's saying? If you are an infant, if you are a child, you get tossed about. We have a lot of churches. You've heard me say this a million times already. Don't go to a church that gives you a TED talk. That's milk. There is no meat in that whatsoever. That's not going to help you. That's the craftiness of men Paul is referring to. But instead, develop a diet of meat. And in verse 15, Paul continues on. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, meaning the church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself in love. Paul's saying, church, become mature. All of you elevate one another, and you will all contribute to the body, that is the church. Mature Christians love God and give him first place in their lives. They are considerate of others and work together in harmony. How the world would change if we did just that one little step, huh? If we had worked together, love one another in harmony. Mature Christians live by faith, not according to the dictates of their emotions. They put away childish things. If you think back to the passage about infants, it said the verbiage that was used was jealousy and strife. That infants react emotionally. And Paul is saying, we don't do that anymore. We live by faith. We don't be controlled. We're not controlled by our emotions. Mature Christians teach others how to live like they are. They are the examples for the younger generations to follow. As I've walked through this list, you've heard each stage say, okay, here's where you're at, here's how you move forward. Now, some of you, if you're a mature Christian, you're sitting there going, aha, I have arrived. I've got nothing else to do. Wrong answer. Church, can I tell you something? When I first came here, one of the things that attracted me to Southlake was the number of mature Christians that we have here. And when I say mature, I mean spiritual age I'm talking. People that have walked with God for decades. They have been weathered by storms. They have endured trials and temptations, faced numerous challenges within the church, and yet they are still here. They are mature Christians. But if you're in that category, guess what you're supposed to be doing? investing in everybody below you. See, your time isn't done. Can I say that maybe your time's just beginning? Now, you know how to live out the gospel, the scriptures. Now you are to invest in those that are coming up behind you, because that is the next generation in the church. I get so frustrated when I hear people today, adults, saying, "Oh, these kids, I can't stand this generation." Are you investing in them? Are you spending time? Are you teaching them? Are you pouring your heart and soul into them? Are you giving them the freedom to make mistakes so they can learn and grow? Church, if you're in this category, we need you more than ever. You need to be investing in the youth. Not me. I can only do so much. There's only one of me, 24 hours in a day. Divide that out, I can touch very few lives on my own. You are charged with that. Scripture even says it, go and make disciples of all nations. Do you think that's the infants that are being charged to do that? No, it's the spiritually mature. You're the ones. So let's do this. I want to put those four stages up on the screen. These are the stages of Christianity: infant, child, young adult, mature Christian. I want you to look at that list, and I want you to ask yourself, honestly, where am I? Now, a couple words of warning. One, if you're married, don't go, "Well, I know where I'm at, but this one." This isn't about anybody else. This is about you. You need to remove all pride. You need to humble yourself before God. Ask the Holy Spirit into your heart and say, where do I fit in on that list? And God, if I'm not a mature Christian, how do I get there? Would you reveal that to me? Church, I want you to grow. I want you all to be mature Christians. I share this word to inspire you, to say, it's okay where you're at. If you're any one of those four, it's okay. We all entered in as an infant, every single one of us. But we have to transition. So if you're not to a mature Christian yet, rest assured, we have a plan on how to get you there. Seek help, seek a mentor, seek God's word, seek the Holy Spirit, and you'll get there. If you're a mature Christian, start pouring into those around you. Now, here's the beautiful thing this morning. Regardless of what stage you are in right now, all Christians are welcome at the table of our Lord. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. Before we do, I want to read from Luke 22. This begins in verse 14. It begins, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, he being Jesus, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when you had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is in the new covenant in my blood. This is the word of the Lord. So important that before we take communion, that we understand why we're taking it. Months ago, I gave a sermon talking about the mystery of communion. That what the mystery is that we're about to receive the love of the Father through the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the mystery of the gospel. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to do something a little bit differently this morning. I want you to spend some time in silence. I want you to spend time reflecting on your life. Speak with Christ this morning. Don't just rush up here for one of these chalices. Set your mind right. Repent of any sins you may have before you partake of the elements. Clear your conscience. Set your soul right. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to move from whatever point you were in whatever stage you were at to become a mature Christian in this life. And when you're finally at peace, come forward and take these communion chalices and then return to your seat. Now I'm going to say this. If you have a gluten intolerance, we have some gluten-free wafers and they are at this table specifically. So you're going to sit there. You're going to be still and be quiet. Let God speak into you. And when ready, you come get one of these. You take it back to your seat. When you get back to your seat, you take the bread out of the chalice and you say to yourself, "This is the body of Christ broken for me," and then you eat it. And then you will say to yourself, "This is the blood of Christ poured out for me," and then you will drink this juice. And then you're going to remain seated until everybody has taken communion. So church, Ryan is going to play some background music for us, and I just want you to be silent for a few minutes, and when ready, come get the elements. And if you are not able to walk forward, if you have some mobility issues, would you just please raise your hand and we will bring the communion elements to you. Thank you. sitting there. Don't rush up. Don't think that while I'm up here giving the blessing that it's over, you missed it. Spend time talking to your Savior. That's okay. Just come up when you're done. Just let me keep talking while you're talking to your Heavenly Father. Church, I saw a beautiful expression this morning. I love having a front row seat because sometimes you see things others don't. I saw the entirety of the church come forward this morning. And what I mean by that, and I don't mean to pick anyone out, but I saw our young children, Micah, come forward as an example and take communion. A young child. And I saw to the other end of the spectrum, I saw Floyd come forward and take it. It is the entirety of our church, what it represents. All are welcome at the table of the Lord. It's a beautiful expression. We need to be grateful and thankful and worship God that such a gift could be given, for which we do not deserve. Church, I'll end this morning with a blessing. If you'd like to receive this blessing, would you please rise at this time and hold out your hands like this? Church, we experienced two glorious things this morning. We received the blood and body of Christ first and foremost. But he died on a cross so that you and I may have eternal life with him. An incredible gift, the best gift we will ever receive in our lives. But we received something else from this book that I am holding up. God shared history with us. He shared his story with us, saying, don't be content with being an infant, but to be mature like my son. Grow up and be like him. Flourish in life, and you will have peace in eternity. South Lake, you received the word of the Lord this morning. You are now sent to apply it. Go forth and love on others in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tell someone you love them. Give them a hug. See you next week.